words that you would have me to say. And Father, I know that you want to speak to us this morning. I know that through your word and the Holy Spirit can teach us and instruct us and help us. And Father, I pray that you would help me to say the things, Lord, that you would have me to say. And Father, I pray that this would be a time of learning and understanding, Lord, that we might be challenged and that we might grow, Father, and not just come to church and be able to check it off, maybe on a mental checklist that we were here, but Father, that we would leave here different than we came, that we would grow, that we would learn, that we would apply it to our lives, that we would not be forgetful hearers. We love you, Father. In your precious name I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're there in Matthew chapter number 16. And I want to bring your attention to a very famous verse there in Matthew 16. And there's a lot of good verses in Matthew 16. But if you look at verse number 18, the Bible says, "And I say also unto thee," this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, "and he said, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And I want to preach or teach on the subject of the church this morning. I want to give you a few thoughts in regards to the church, but before we even get into that, let me just answer a few questions in regards to this verse. A lot of the Catholic Church often uses this verse, and they'll say, see, the church was founded upon Peter. And they'll say Peter was the first pope, and Peter was the church was founded on him, and it's therefore founded on the popes and stuff like that. And obviously you're in a Baptist church. We don't believe that. If you want to know my opinion in regards to whether Peter was the first pope, you know, I would say, well, number one, Peter did not accept worship like the pope today does, where people bow before him. Number two, Peter was married, the Bible tells us, not like the pope today. So I think it's very difficult for you to attach those two things together. But the other thing is this, Jesus is not referring to Peter, okay? If you look at verse number 15, notice Jesus asks a question. He says, "He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am?" So Jesus is saying, who am I? Or who do you think I am? Or who do? Because he just asked, what do other people say I am? And they said, well, some people say you're John the Baptist. Some people say you're Elias. Some people say you're Jeremiah. And he said, okay, well, who do you think I am? He's talking to the disciples. And Simon Peter, now look, Peter often puts his foot in his mouth. But on this occasion, he was right on. And Simon Peter answered and said, now notice what Peter says. He says, thou, talking to Jesus, he said, art the Christ. The word Christ means Messiah. He said, you are the Messiah. He said, you are the one that was to come. You are the one that is supposed to forgive us of our sins, to bring us salvation. He said, if you want to know who we think you are, we believe thou art the Son, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay? So Peter made a very good statement there, correct? I mean, he said, Jesus, does anybody else believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen. Anybody else believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, Amen. The one that came to bring us salvation? So Peter says, look, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. Now look at verse 16, okay? You got to follow the context in Scripture here. Verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. He said, Simon, you're a blessed person. Why? And notice what he says, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it. You see the word it there? Okay, that's the subject. That's what they're talking about. He said, Joe, Simon, you're a blessed person because the it that we're talking about was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father which is in heaven. Okay, so what's the it referring to? The it is referring to the statement that Peter just made. You understand that? Statement just, Peter just said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, you're right, Peter, and you didn't come up with that on your own. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven, revealed it. Revealed that truth. Revealed that statement. Revealed that belief. What belief? That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
Look, verse 18. I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter. And upon this rock. Now look, you do, I don't have time to develop it this morning. You do a study of the rock in the Bible, and it's not a wrestler, okay? It's God.
That's right.
The rock is Jesus Christ. He is the cornerstone. The Bible often refers to him as the rock. He said, thou art Peter, which the word Peter actually doesn't mean the rock. It means a pebble. It means a stone. He said, thou art Peter. He said, but upon this rock. Upon what rock? Christ. The fact that I am the Son of God. The fact that I am the Messiah. Upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So see, Jesus was not saying to Peter, hey Peter, yeah, you're right, I'm the Messiah, but I'm going to build my church upon you, a man. No, Peter was a simple man. And Peter was greatly used of God, obviously. But he says, look, the rock that is referred to there is the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. You study out the phrase the rock throughout the scripture, and you cannot get away from the fact that it's always God, it's always Jesus Christ. Okay? So let's just get that, you know, just make sure we understand the context before we move on from that statement. But I'm not even preaching about that this morning. That was just for free. You're not going to get charged for that part of the sermon, okay? But here's the point I'm trying to make. Jesus here, the word church is used for the first time in the New Testament here. In Scripture, I'm talking about when you go from Matthew to Revelation. It's the first time we hear the word church. And Jesus is talking about the church here, and he says, upon this rock. Now notice what Jesus says. He says, I will build my church. I want you to understand something about the church. The church is a very special entity. You say, why is it special? Because it's the Lord Jesus Christ who established the church. He said, I will build my church. Keep your finger there in Matthew 16. We're going to come right back to it. Go to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. You're there in Matthew. You go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and then you got the book of Ephesians, alright? Ephesians chapter number 5. Look at verse number 2. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 2. Should have your finger in Matthew 16, because we're going to come right back to it. But go to Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse number 2. Ephesians 5. I want you to understand this. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who established the church. But not only that, the Bible teaches that the Lord Jesus Christ also died for the church. Are you there in Ephesians chapter 5? Look at verse 2. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given, look what he says, himself for us. An offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Skip down to verse number 25. And of course, we know Ephesians 5 is dealing with the relationships between a husband and wife. But in verse 25, I just want you to see a truth there. I preached extensively a few weeks ago on the roles of a husband and roles of a wife, so I'm not going to deal with the context. You can look that sermon up on the internet if you'd like, or we give you a CD or whatever. But look at Ephesians 5 and verse 25. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Even as, the words even as mean, in the same way that Christ also loved the church. Now notice what it says. And gave himself for it. The it there is the church. Okay, so here's what I want you to understand. The Lord Jesus Christ established the church. But then, not only did the Lord Jesus Christ establish the church, the Lord Jesus Christ also died for the church. Go back to Matthew 16. Now, before you go there, I meant to tell you, keep your finger in Ephesians 5. Some of you already did, it's too late. But just keep your finger in Ephesians 5, because we're going to come back to it, okay? Matthew 16, look at verse 18, just real quickly. Matthew 16, verse 18, we already saw it, but I want you to see it again. Matthew 16, 18, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build. You see that? It's not only his church, but the Bible also teaches that it's Jesus Christ who builds the church, okay? So the Lord Jesus Christ established the church, the Lord Jesus Christ died for the church, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that builds the church. Go to Acts real quickly. Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. Look at verse 47. Acts 2, 47. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Acts 2, 47 says this. Acts 2, 47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord, which we know is Jesus Christ is the Lord. We know Jesus Christ is God. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Okay? So it is God that builds the church. It is Jesus who builds the church. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts 2:47. So, Jesus established the church. Jesus died for the church. Jesus Christ is the one that built the church. Go back to Ephesians. Remember, I told you a little too late, but if you can get back there quickly, Ephesians 5, look at verse 23. Ephesians 5, verse 23. Ephesians 5, 23. Not only is the Lord the one that established the church, not only is he the one that died for the church, not only is he the one that built the church, the Bible teaches that he's also the one that is the head of the church. The head of the church. Ephesians 5, 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as, in the same way that, Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. The Bible says that Christ is the head of the church. Go to Colossians. Are there any Ephesians? Philippians, Colossians. Just a couple of books down. Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1, verse 18. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Colossians 1:18. And He is the head of the body, the church. Do you see that? The He there is referring to Jesus Christ. And He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He, Jesus Christ, might have the preeminence. The Bible says He's the head of the body. So He is the one that instituted the church. He is the one that died for the church. He is the one. He is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. You understand this? The church is a very special entity.
Amen.
I mean, and by the way, Jesus Christ is the head of the church. You know, sometimes people say, "Oh, Pastor Jimenez, you know, you're the head of the church, right?" And I always tell people, "I'm not the head of the church. The head of the church is Jesus Christ." And by the way, that's one of the reasons why we are not in a denomination. We are independent Baptists. You say, "Why are you independent?" Because whenever you put an organization above the church, you have now replaced the head. The head of every Baptist church is not a Catholic pope. The head of every Baptist church is not a president somewhere sitting in Salt Lake City, Utah, or New York City, New York, or you know, Houston, Texas. We don't have orders coming down from the Southern Baptist conventions. We have orders coming down through the Word of God, through God, Jesus Christ Himself, because He is the head. And to put anything above the church is to replace the head, Jesus Christ. It's a sin to be in a denomination.
Amen.
Because the Bible says that He is the head of the body, the church. Now here's a question. Go to Acts 11. Acts 11. Okay, Pastor Ben, we're looking at a lot of verses. I thought that's why you came to church.
Amen.
I'm amazed. The number one complaint, well, I shouldn't say it's the number one complaint, but the number two complaint that I get from people is, you know, and I think to myself, you know, every time somebody says it to me or emails it to me, I think to myself, wow, you actually said those words. And people say, you look at too many verses at your church. You go too fast. I think about it, you really just said that. Huh. See, people are used to going to these churches where they look at 1.5 verses.
That's right.
For 30 minutes, they talk about 1.5 verses. Look, the Word of God is the only thing that can change your life. So, yeah, we do look at a lot of Bible around here.
Right.
Acts 11, look at verse 26. Acts 11, verse 26. Acts 11, 26. Acts 11, 26. People say, well, I can't keep up with you. If you read your Bible, you can keep up with me.
Amen.
Acts 11, 26. Acts 11:26. Say, Pastor, you're not being very nice today. The encouraging sermon was last Sunday. You missed it. Acts 11:26. Look what it says. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they. And let me ask you. You know, you say, well, what is the church? What is a church? Now look at what the Bible says. A whole year they. Look at these words. Assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. The Bible says they assembled themselves with the church. Do you see that? You got to understand this. A church is an assembly, a congregation of believers. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And I'm not trying to go fast. It's just we got a lot to look at, and I want you to catch it all. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Look at verse 18. 1 Corinthians 11, 18. 1 Corinthians 11, 18. Everybody, you know, I love it because people come to the church and say, man, at first it was really hard for me to keep up with you, but now, you know, I'm right there with you. That's growth. That's good, honestly. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, look at verse 18. 1 Corinthians 11, 18 says this. For first of all, when ye, look what it says, when ye come together in the church. That's what a church is coming together. I hear that there be divisions among you. And I partly believe it. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. I don't have time to develop the context there. I just want you to see those phrases. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 23. 1 Corinthians 14, 23. Obviously, Paul is dealing with issues there. If you read 1 Corinthians, you'll get that. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 23. 1 Corinthians 14, 23 says this. If therefore, look what it says, the whole church be come together into one place. You see that? I just want you to understand this. The Bible teaches that a church is an assembly, a congregation of believers. The word congregation and church are actually used interchangeably in Scripture. The word church means a gathering of individuals together. That's what a church is. And I'm telling you that because people get these false ideas. They think a church is a building. A church is not a building. A church is not walls and sheetrock and lighting and a roof. A church is a group of Christians coming together. And by the way, it's local in order to come together. Are you there in 1 Corinthians 14:23? Look what it says. If therefore the whole church come together, look what it says, into one place. Do you see that? Into one place. Go to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Real quickly. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Acts 2, 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Acts 2, 1. The Bible says, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter number 2, verse 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all, look what it says, with one accord, look what it says, in one place. You know, let me just, while we're at it, talk about the church. I'm just trying to get through my introduction because I can get to the sermon. But let me just, because we're there, talk about this. You know what that proves is that there's no such thing as a universal church. Amen. There's no such thing as, you know, the church. People talk about the church today. You know, they're talking about all believers. And there's this doctrine called the universal church that every believer makes the church. You know, all of us together. Look, a church is a group of believers coming together in one place. You are in a local church this morning. But look, we are not assembled with every believer in the world right now. Now, one day when we get raptured up and we're all in heaven and every believer is united together, yeah, the whole church, the whole congregation will be together. But today, you're just congregating with the believers in Sacramento. And there are believers in other places, in other cities, holding church service right now. But there's no such thing as the universal church. Because a church, by definition, is a local assembly of believers. Amen. You just got to understand that. You got to believe it. There's no such thing as the church. There are churches. There is the church here in Sacramento, and there's churches all over the world, and one day we will be the entire assembly together. But a church is an assembly of believers coming together. So here's the question. Now, here's what I'm trying to prove to you. The church is a very special place. Jesus died for it. Jesus established it. Jesus built it. Jesus is the head of it. It's a group of believers coming together. Okay, so here's the question. Why? Why? Why are you in church this morning? Why are you here? Why do you go to church? Why are you a part of a church? What is the purpose of having a New Testament church? And you know, the truth of the matter is that most people, honestly, that go to church, good people, go to church and have no clue what the purpose of a church is. Go to Mark chapter number 16. Matthew, Mark chapter number 16. I want to share with you this morning four reasons, and we'll go through it as quickly as we can. Mark chapter 16, I promise we won't be here very long. Mark chapter 16, I want to share with you four reasons for the purpose of the New Testament church. Four reasons for the purpose of the New Testament church. Mark chapter 16, look at verse 15. The Bible is a very well-known verse, obviously. Mark 16, 15 says this. And he said unto them, this is Jesus speaking, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. When Jesus left his believers on earth, he left them with one mission. And you see it there in Mark 16. To reach the world with the gospel.
Amen.
He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is what's commonly known as the Great Commission. Go to Matthew 28. We were in Matthew 16 earlier. Go to Matthew 28. Look at verse 19. Matthew 28. Just right before the book of Mark, you got Matthew 28. Matthew chapter number 28. Look at verse 19. Matthew 28. Here you find another account of the Great Commission. Matthew 28. Verse 19 says, go ye therefore and teach. Now notice this. All nations. God says, teach all nations. God says, into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I mean, this is a big task. To reach the entire world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go to Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts chapter 1. Look at verse 8. Acts chapter 1. Verse number 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts 1, 8 says, this is again the Lord Jesus Christ giving that great commission. Gave it multiple times. He wanted to make sure we got it. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. Look what it says. Both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and, look what it says, unto the uttermost part of the earth. And by the way, I would submit to you that the reason the Holy Ghost comes upon someone is so that they can preach the gospel.
Amen.
You know, movements today say, well, we come to church and the Holy Ghost came upon me and I started speaking in tongues and rolling around and got all excited. Look, the Bible says the reason the Holy Ghost comes upon you is so you can go out and knock on doors and win somebody to Christ.
That's right.
So they come on you here at the church. And, you know, the whole tongues thing is a whole different subject. Anyway, go to Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. I can't get off on too many tangents. Romans chapter 10. Look at verse 14. Romans chapter 10, verse 10. I'm just here to tell you that the Bible says, Jesus said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in, he said, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria, and he said, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He said, I want you to reach the entire world with the gospel. He said, I want you to teach all nations. He said, I want you to reach every creature, everyone. Now look, that's a big task. That's a big job. And you got to understand this. Are you there in Romans chapter 10? It can only effectively be done through the local church. So how do we reach the world? Through churches. So you got to understand this. People today get this idea, you know, I'm doing my part. You know, and they don't want to be part of a local church ministry. They don't want to get under the soul winning ministry of a local church. They say, I'm just going to do it on my own. But let me tell you something. No Christian that effectively is part of the Great Commission and fulfilling the Great Commission, no Christian can do it outside of the local New Testament church. Not for very long. You say, why is that? Are you there in Romans chapter 10? Look at verse 14. Romans 10, 14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? See, some of us, we need to just get to the place where we start being so Calvinistic. And thinking, well, you know, most Christians get to the idea, if people are going to get saved, they're going to get saved, you know, God's going to make sure they get saved, whether I go out and tell them or not, or I go out and preach the gospel or not. The Bible says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? See, look, how can they call on salvation if they don't believe in Jesus Christ? And then he says, and how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? Well, Pastor, you know, I don't go out soul winning and I don't worry about telling people about Jesus Christ because I just figure that God's going to do it somehow and he's just going to get it done. If they're going to get saved, they're going to get saved. Look, if they're going to get saved, they're going to get saved through you.
That's right. Amen.
Because how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? Look what it says. And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's you. Now here's a problem with the preachers, verse 15. And how shall they preach? Notice this, don't miss this. Except they be sent. That's what a local church does. See, people get this idea. Sometimes people email me and they'll say, Pastor Manners, I can't find a good church in my area. And so I'm just going to go soul winning by myself. And look, I it's admirable. Praise the Lord for it. I'm glad you're doing it. But you know what? To be very honest with you, you're not going to last very long. Unless you're doing it through a local church, because the Bible itself says, how shall they preach except they be sent? The few people that actually are trying to reach people outside of the church through soul winning, you know, out of the church's soul winning ministry, you know, they're talking to friends, they're talking to loved ones, but you gotta understand this. They are not going to be able to do what they need to do because God has given that commission to the church. Here's why. Because it is the church and the church's organization that is needed to be able to fulfill the commission. Go to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. This is kind of a very teachy type sermon. I understand that. We need those from time to time. Mark chapter 6. Look at verse 7. Mark chapter 6, verse 7. Mark chapter 6, verse 7. Hey, Pastor, I don't want to just be taught something. I want to hear preaching. Look, I'm going to get mad about something in a minute and start yelling, okay? But you don't like that either, so just enjoy this. Mark chapter 6, verse 7. Mark chapter 6, verse 7. Mark 6, 7. Look what it says. Mark chapter 6, verse 7. You got to understand this, okay? And please understand this. Most people who attempt... before I even say that, let me say this. Most Christians aren't even attempting. Aren't even trying. And honestly, most of them don't even care.
Right, right.
If their neighbor dies and goes to hell, who cares? Not my problem. I got the gospel. Someone gave me the gospel. I'm good to go. Forget that. That's how most people... Now, they won't say that, but that's what they actually feel, because if they actually cared, they would try to give them the gospel.
That's right.
So most people don't care, number one. But those who do care, then get this idea. Well, I'm just going to invite my friends to church. And look, I'm all for inviting friends to church. I want you to invite friends to church. But you know why we invite friends to church? So we can get them saved. You know, well, I'm just going to talk to my friends. I'm just going to give the gospel to my loved ones. I'm just going to talk to my neighbors. And by the way, most churches, that's where they stop. Every once in a while, they'll try to encourage you to bring a friend. And look, we'll encourage you to bring a friend. But we're also going to encourage you to go out solely.
Amen.
Because the commission is, you got to understand this. Are you friends with the whole world? Is everybody in the world your family? Now, some of you are close. I understand that. But you got to understand this. Not everybody's in your family. Not everybody's your co-worker. See, Jesus actually gave us a pattern for how to accomplish it. Are you there in Mark chapter 6? Look at verse 7. And he called unto him the 12. So Jesus had his church going here. He got 12 disciples. I know Baptists like to argue with me about that. The church didn't start in Matthew. Okay, whatever. And he called unto him the 12. And began to send them forth. And notice how he sends them. By two and two. And gave them power over unclean spirits. So Jesus got his 12 disciples. And he said, hey, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to send you out in groups of two. Okay? Go to Luke chapter 10. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Look at verse 1. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. Luke chapter number 10, verse 1. We're doing good on time. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. Luke 10, 1 says this. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. His church is growing. Praise the Lord. He had 12, now he's got 70. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. Now notice what he does with them. And sent them, same thing, two and two. Do you see that? Before his face. In every city and place. Whether he himself will go. So he said, look, I want you to go to every city. I want you to go to every place. I'm going to split you guys up. He said, I started with 12. I split you into six groups of two. Go out and go into the cities. Go into the highways. Go into the hedges. In Luke 10, he's got 70 soul winners now. That's got to be a good soul winning meeting. They got their 70 soul winners. They sing their soul winning song. Then he says, okay, I'm going to send you guys out. Two and two. And I'm going to send you out into every city and place, whether he himself will go. He said, I'm going to go, but I'm going to send you before me. Go to Acts chapter 5. Okay, so how did Jesus do it? Here's how he did it. He sent groups, two by two. Two by two. Two and two. Two by two. Acts 5:42. Where did he send them to? Where did he send these groups? Acts 5:42. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts 5:42. Acts 5:42. The Bible says, Acts 5:42. And daily in the temple and in every... What's that say? And in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Go to Acts chapter 20. Look at verse 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 20. Acts 20:20. The Bible says, Acts chapter 20 and verse 20, Acts 20:20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly. Is that what we're doing right now? Is this a public teaching?
Amen.
Okay, so he said, Paul says, I taught you publicly, but he said, I didn't only teach you publicly. He said, I also taught you from, what's that say? House. Let's say it together. From house to house. How did Jesus expect his disciples to fulfill the commission he gave them? He said, I'm going to send you out two by two into the cities, and I want you to go into every house to house, and reach them.
Amen.
Show me in the Bible where Jesus advocated, you know, lifestyle evangelism. Show me in the Bible where Jesus said, well, just talk to your friends, and that'll be good enough. No, he said, I want you to reach the whole world. And he said, here's how I want you to do it. If this local church reaches its community, going door to door, house by house, in every house, daily in the temple and in every house. And by the way, it was daily. You know, and let me just put this out there. Soul winning isn't just on Saturday. It ought to be every day.
That's right.
You know, you ought to be witnessing every day. Yes, to your friends, to your co-workers, to your neighbors. And even corporate soul winning. You say, well, I can't make it on Saturday. Then go another day. You know, one day, Lord willing, our church will have so many soul winners going out. We'll have somebody going out every day of the week. That'd be great.
Amen.
That's what they did in the book of Acts, daily in the temple and in every house. He sees not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. He said, I did it publicly and from house to house. See, you got to understand this. Going out and just talking to people about Jesus is not going to reach this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The way it's going to be done and the way the Bible says to do it is to do it in groups of two and two, going house to house, preaching the gospel, getting people saved. That's how Jesus did it.
Amen.
People say to me, and by the way, that's what Verity Baptist Church does. Many of you are here this morning because you got an invitation on your door, because somebody knocked on your door.
Amen.
People sometimes say to me, well, Pastor Jimenez, did you get that idea from the Jehovah's Witnesses?
No.
You guys do that? You got that from the Mormons? No, I just read you a bunch of verses. I got it from the Bible.
That's right.
Now, yeah. The Bible says that Satan is transformed into an angel of light. Satan is going to take what the Bible says and have his cults do it. Which that's what they are, by the way. Have his cults do it so that then Christians are like, well, I don't want to do it because the Mormons are doing it.
That's right.
Look, it doesn't matter who's doing it. The Bible says to do it, we ought to do it. And the sad thing is that the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses are the ones that are known for it. Christians should be known for it.
That's right.
Because Jesus said in every house. Jesus said from house to house. Jesus said two by two. Jesus said go out into the highways and hedges. Jesus said do it. So you say, well, what is the point? What is the purpose? Why did Jesus establish this church? Why did Jesus love the church? Why did Jesus die for the church? Why are we here? You got to understand this. The number one reason we're here is to reach this community with the gospel.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
That's why we're here. To reach people. To preach the gospel. The purpose of the New Testament church is to reach the lost with the gospel. Go back to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. And you got to understand this. If we weren't doing that, we would be a club. We would be a social club. We would be a moose lodge. We would be, you know, some other group that joins you together. Coming together isn't enough. It's coming together for the purpose of reaching our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord.
The purpose of the New Testament church is to reach the lost with the gospel. But that's not the only purpose. Matthew 28, look at verse 19. Matthew 28, verse 19. See, the Great Commission is not... And by the way, this is the problem I have with these Christianity that says, let's not go out soul winning, let's just talk to our friends, okay? Is that they're inviting people to church. And I'm all for inviting people to church. But let me tell you something. Talking to someone about Jesus is not the same way as the same thing as presenting the gospel to someone.
Come on. That's right.
And that's not just the commission. Matthew 28, 19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's part one. Part two says, baptizing them. Baptizing them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Go to Acts 2. Go back to Acts chapter 2. The Great Commission is more than just preaching Jesus. The Great Commission is more than just knocking doors. The Great Commission, now yes, the Great Commission is for churches to gather together and reach their community and saturate their community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's more than that. It's then taking those new believers and begin to disciple them. And step number one in your discipleship is get baptized. Acts 2:41. Now you say, well, why does baptism have to be done through a local church? Well, Acts 2:41 says this, and they that gladly received this word were baptized. And the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. See, the Bible teaches this. And I don't have time to preach on baptism. I preached on baptism before. We'll deal with it another time. But you got to understand this. Baptism should be done through a local church because among many things, baptism is how you become a part of the local church. Look at Acts 2:41 again. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And when they were baptized, the same day there were added unto them, talking about the church, about 3,000 souls. They baptized. They had, you know, people saved. 3,000 were baptized, and those were added into the church. You get added into the body. You get added into the family. You get added into the assembly here, officially, after baptism. So if baptism adds you to a church, shouldn't you get baptized through a church?
Amen.
So, well, I'm just gonna go and baptize people, you know. I'm just going to baptize somebody on my own. It'll be fine. Look, just getting wet isn't baptism. And I don't have time to deal with baptism, but let me just show you this. Go to Matthew 3. Matthew 3. You should be okay. We're going to a lot of the same books, so you should remember where they're at. Matthew chapter 3. Look at verse 15. Remember when Jesus got baptized? Matthew chapter 3. Matthew 3:15. Matthew 3:15. Around here, we ask people often, have you been biblically baptized? Because simply asking someone, have you been baptized, is not good enough. Have you been biblically baptized? Jesus, Matthew 3:15, said this. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 3, verse 15. Remember, he wanted to get baptized. He's talking to John the Baptist about getting baptized. John says, I don't know. I'm not worthy to baptize you. You know, if anything, you should baptize me. And Jesus answered. He said, Matthew 3:15. And Jesus answering said unto him, he said, suffer. The word suffer means allow. He says, allow it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. You see, the word righteousness begins with the word right. Jesus said to John, he said, John, if we're going to do this right, if we're going to do this righteously, I need you to baptize me, John. What that tells me is this, there's a wrong way to get baptized. And I don't have time to develop baptism, I don't have time to go through it, but let me just tell you this, it matters when you get baptized, whether it's before or after salvation. It matters how you get baptized, whether it's immersion or sprinkling or pouring. It matters why you got baptized. Some people get baptized because they're saved. Some people get baptized to get saved. Those are two different things. It matters who performed the baptism. Here we saw an example. John said, I don't want to baptize you, Jesus. Now look, Jesus could, there's all sorts of religious people that could have baptized Jesus. I mean, he could have asked a Pharisee, could have asked a Sadducee, could have asked a priest, a Levite, he could have asked a lawyer, he could have asked anybody to baptize him, but he said, John, if we're going to do this right, I need you to baptize. So here's the thing, who baptized you matters. You know, here's my question for you, have you been biblically baptized? I didn't ask, have you been baptized? I asked, have you been biblically baptized? You say, well, I don't really understand that. Talk to me after the service, talk to somebody after the service, we'll explain to you. But it matters, and here's the thing, it is the purpose of the church to not just win people to Christ, but then to baptize them. Go back to Matthew 28, look at verse 20. Matthew 28, verse 20. We're just going through the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 20. The purpose of the New Testament church. We said, number one, the purpose of the New Testament church is to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number two, the purpose of the New Testament church is to baptize converts. Number three, the purpose of the New Testament church is to disciple believers. The purpose of the New Testament church is to disciple believers. The job of the church is to teach believers everything God, Jesus, wants them to know. Are you there in Matthew 28? Look at verse 20. Teaching them. So he said, go ye therefore into all nations. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You know, people, the real popular movement right now is the Jesus-only movement. Only baptize me in the name of Jesus. Because that's how they did it in Acts. Okay, well, Jesus said to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
And then in verse 20, he says, teaching them. So step three, teaching them to observe all things. Do you see that? He said, I want you to teach them to observe all things. Whatsoever I've commanded you. Jesus commanded a lot of things. He said, I want you to teach them everything I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. Go to Acts chapter 2. Go back to Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 42. Acts chapter 2. You can understand this. The job of the church is to teach believers. It's not only our job to reach people with the gospel. It's not only our job to baptize people. It is also our job to then teach them, then disciple them, then teach them what the Bible says so that they can become a mature, growing Christian in their faith. The Bible says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you there in Acts 2:42? Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly, look what it says, in the apostles' doctrine. The word doctrine means teaching. It says, not only did these people get saved, not only did they get baptized, but then the apostles began to teach them doctrine. The apostles began to teach them from the Bible. Doctrines like, there's no such thing as the universal church. Doctrines like, Jesus is the head of the church. Doctrines like salvation is by grace through faith, not of works. Doctrines like it matters who baptizes you and when you got baptized and why you got baptized. Our job is to teach believers and fellowship and breaking bread and prayer. We'll talk about that. Go to Acts 11. Acts 11, verse 26. Acts 11, verse 26. Acts 11, verse 26. We're doing good. We're doing good. We're almost done. Acts 11, verse 26. Acts 11, verse 26. Acts 11, verse 26 says, Acts 11, 26, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the, what? Church. Okay, so what? They assembled themselves with the church, and then what do? And taught much people. Do you see that?
Yeah.
The purpose of the church is to teach you. It's to educate you. It's to instruct you. And taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Go to Acts 13, look at verse 1. Acts 13, verse 1. You're there in Acts 11, just flip a few pages over. Acts chapter number 13, and verse number 1. Acts 13, verse 1. The Bible says, Acts 13, 1. Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Why were teachers at the church in Antioch? Because the church is supposed to teach you. What kind of teachers were they? As Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Go to Acts chapter 20. Look at verse 28. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Acts 20:28 says, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock." This is Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, speaking to pastors, to elders. He says, "Take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost made you overseer." Look what he says. He says, "To feed the church of God." My job as a pastor is to feed you spiritually.
Amen.
Now, my job is not only to feed you, your job is to feed yourself. When you're a baby, you get fed. When you get older, you begin to feed yourself. Now, when you're older, you don't feed yourself every time. Some of you go to restaurants, right? Some of you go to a lot of restaurants.
Amen.
But you know what? You know, you come to Mary Baptist Church, we're serving you up a meal here. We're feeding you spiritually. By the way, that's why we preach more than a verse and a half.
That's right. Thank you.
I'm trying to strengthen you. I'm trying to give you something to chew on, something to learn. My job is to feed the church of God spiritually, which He has purchased with His own blood. Remember, He died for the church. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. 1 Corinthians 4, 17. 1 Corinthians 4, 17 says, "For this cause have I sent unto Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ." Are you there? 1 Corinthians 4, 17. Look what it says. Last part of verse 17. 1 Corinthians 4, 17. Last part of verse 17 says, "As I teach everywhere in every church." You know what Paul was doing in church? Teaching. You know what Paul, the apostle, was doing in church? Expounding upon doctrine. You know what a pastor is supposed to do in church? Feed the church of God. You need to understand this. The purpose of a church is to edify, not entertain. You understand that? The purpose of a church is to edify, not entertain. Remember I told you about the number two complaint I get? You want to know what the number one complaint I get? What's the number one complaint you get, Pastor? People complain. They say, "Man, The old hymns, you know, they're just not like this new, you know, this music, you know." People say, "I've heard about this." You know, somebody said to me once, "You should try like turning the lights off. You know, people can get up and can worship." I think that'd be kind of awkward. I don't know about you. Can you imagine like the lights are off, all of you guys are standing with your hands up? Amazing grace. It just doesn't work, you know what I mean? And you say, "Well, you know, I don't have time to preach on music." We have the music we have for a reason. I'll preach about it some other time and you on that too. But here's the point. People often say, you don't have the lights, and you don't have the flashing lights. You know, churches today, I mean, they got disco balls. I mean, they got everything. You know, it's just, it is entertaining. People say, "I went to this church, and this guy, you know, he had like this old-fashioned trumpet. He's playing the trumpet. This other guy is playing the organ." I mean, people were just rolling around. They're like, it was entertaining. But here's the question. What'd you learn? See, people literally said to me, they say, man, "I've never learned as much as I learned coming to your church. But it's just the music. It's just not as entertaining." Well, here's the thing. You don't understand what church is for. Look, TV can entertain you. YouTube can entertain you. Facebook can entertain you. And from time to time, there's nothing wrong with being entertained. But I'm telling you, the purpose of the church is not to entertain. It's to edify. It's to build. It's to teach. It's for you to learn. It's for you to grow. It's for you to develop. It's for you to become a mature Christian. The average church today, 45 minutes of music, an hour and 15 minutes of music, 10 minutes of preaching, 15 minutes of preaching, 1.5 verse. I mean, how much more preaching could you do with 1.5 verse? You come to Verity Baptist Church, 10 minutes of preaching, 45 minutes, 1 hour of preaching, 10 minutes of music. We do it like that on purpose, because the purpose of church is to teach you the Bible. It's not to entertain you. You're entertained way too much already. Some of you need to cut back on the entertainment. Just get along with the Word of God and start learning. The purpose of the church is to teach, is to instruct, is for you to grow, is for you to edify. It's not to entertain you. But if you say, "Well, if you guys brought in some of that, you know, Christian rock music, and if you turned that lights off, if you made it feel like it was a nightclub in here, I'd be more comfortable." Yeah, you'd be more comfortable because that's where you spend your nights, to be entertained in nightclub. Church is not a nightclub.
Right.
Church is not a rock concert.
That's right.
Church is a place where you come to hear the word of God, be instructed, and learn.
Right. Praise the Lord.
So we said, number one, the purpose of New Testament church is to reach the lost with the gospel. We said, number two, the purpose of New Testament church is to baptize converts. So number three, the purpose of New Testament church is to disciple believers, is to teach believers, is to instruct believers. Go back to Acts chapter 2, look at verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts 2:42 says this. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Notice, doctrine comes first. And once you get the doctrine, there's other things you could do. And fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. The purpose of the New Testament church is to give Christians a place to belong. The Bible says that one of the purposes of the church is to fellowship. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're almost done. I've already said that twice. So I'm probably going to say it two more times before we're actually done. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. No, we are almost done. See, there you go. Now you just got one more to go. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 14. 1 Corinthians 12, 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. The purpose of the New Testament church is to give Christians a place to belong. 1 Corinthians 12, 14. For the body is not one member, but many. The word member there is talking about body part. See, look, the body is not one body part. It's many body parts put together. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? I mean, Paul's kind of being a little funny here. You know, the foot says, I'm not the hand, so that makes me not part of the body. Of course you're part of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Now I want you to notice verse 18. See, you understand, the body, you said, what's the body talking about? It's talking about the church. Because we are the body of Christ. And the body is not a member, it is individual. It is many members coming together. Just like your body has many different body parts that come together to make you. Verity Baptist Church has many different body parts that come together to make this body of local believers. Look at verse 18. But now hath God... Now, don't miss this. Hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body. See, God is the one that places people in the church. You know, we go out soul winning, we knock on doors, we do our part, but you know, it's not just about doing our part. It is God the one. It is Jesus who builds the church. It is Jesus. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God sets the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. That's why I don't worry too much about, you know, when people quit Verity Baptist Church. You know why? Because either God put them here or not. And if God put them here, then praise the Lord for it. And if God didn't put them here, then they don't need to be here. But it pleased Him. And by the way, let me say this. If God placed you here, make sure you stay here. Because God placed you here to please Him, not you. Look at verse 19. 1 Corinthians 12, 19. If they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members? Yeah, but one body. You got to understand this. Understand this. The church is many members that we make up one body. It is many families. It is many individuals that make up one body. No one's better than anyone else. Verse 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable upon thee will bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together. God put the body together and hath given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. And by the way, let me just say this about the body. You know, you say, well, what if I leave? What if I'm not part of the body? What if I get, you know, you understand this. Think about a normal human body. If I lost my arm, could I survive? Of course. Could I live a fulfilled life? Of course. There are many people today that are missing a limb and still accomplish many things in their lives. But would they not accomplish more if they had the whole body? You understand that? See, people think like, well, if I leave, you know, they're too extreme. People say, if I leave, the church is going to fall apart. I always like it when people like that leave. And I like it when they come back a year later and it's like, whoa, it's grown. Yeah. See, we don't need you, but we will miss you. Because God placed you here. And a person that that's missing a limb or missing a foot or missing a body part, they can survive, they can go on, they can accomplish many things, but they were not meant to live like that. And God has placed you here for a reason, for a purpose. Look at verse 25. 1 Corinthians 12:25. That there should be no schism in the body. That word means a split or division. But that the members should have the same care one for another. You ever hurt yourself, you know, maybe you're hammering something and you hit your finger? Your whole body hurts, you know what I mean? You know, that's how a body ought to be. It ought to care for another. Our church body ought to care for another. Look at verse 26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. And one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. See, one of the reasons you say, God gave us a church so we can fulfill the Great Commission, so we can go out and reach the world and baptize people and disciple them. But another reason God gave you a church is that you can belong to a body, and when you're hurting, we can hurt with you. And when you're rejoicing, we can rejoice with you. And when you need prayer, we can pray with you. And we can fellowship with you. And we can have friendships here. You know, you ought to endeavor to gather your social life around the church people that God has placed you in this body with. Because God gave you a body to belong to. Sometimes people, you know, say to me, and I understand. Sometimes people say to me, you know, I'm very lonely. And the thing is, being lonely is a really hard thing. But you know, honestly, I think to myself, there's no reason why anybody at Verity Baptist Church should be lonely. So why is that? I mean, we have a service on Sunday morning. We have a service on Sunday night. We have a service on Wednesday night. We have soul winning on Saturday. We have, you know, ladies' activities, men's activities, couples' activities, this activity, that activity. I mean, this Friday night, you can come over here. We're going to watch a film. It's going to be entertainment. It's going to be fun. We're going to have popcorn. We have all these activities. And people say to me, they say, you know, I'm lonely. I said, well, why don't you come to church on Wednesday night? Why don't you come to activity on Friday? And here's what they say. Why don't go to those things? Well, whose fault is that? Our job is to put our lives in Jesus Christ. And if you're going to put your life in Jesus Christ, you should put your life in the body of Jesus Christ. Because God gave you a place to belong to. You say, well, my family's gone. My family doesn't care. My family's not here. But you've got a church family that is here and does care. But see, you've got to do your... The Bible says, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. I want to encourage some of you. Some of you need to just come out of your comfort zone a little bit and get to know somebody. Talk to somebody. You know, become friends and develop friendships within the church. Because God gave you a church for that reason, for fellowship. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. If you can find all those T books, you got 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus. They're all kind of joined together. 2nd Timothy chapter 2. 2nd Timothy chapter number 2. God gave you a church. And God has given us a church for the purpose of reaching the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Baptizing converts. Discipling believers. And you know, we have a lot of opportunities for you to learn the Bible here. We preach Bible sermons on Sunday morning. But you know what? We preach Bible sermons on Sunday night. We're preaching series that are meant to help you grow. We're going verse by verse Bible study on a Wednesday night. And you know, and again, I'm not trying to pick on anybody. It's amazing to me. People say to me, man, I learned so much when I come here. I think to myself, imagine how much more you could learn if you came more. Imagine what you're missing. And by the way, let me just tell you this. Whenever the devil's trying to keep you out of church, that's the sermon you need. You're like, oh man, you know, everything went wrong today and I wasn't able to make it. You probably weren't able to make it because that's the one you needed. The purpose of the church is to give Christians a place to belong. Say, okay, Pastor Jimenez, so we reach a new believer. We bring them in. We baptize them. We... develop friendships, begin to fellowship, get them in here, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we teach them the Bible, teach them what the Bible says, they begin to do the things the Bible says, they begin to be a growing, mature Christian. Then what do? Then we just repeat. Just do it again. Get someone saved, baptize, teach. Then we take that person we taught and get them to go get somebody saved, get somebody baptized, teach them. and we just keep doing that over and over and over and over till you die or Jesus comes back or the world ends or whatever happens, but we keep doing it till we reach the world. Are you there in 2 Timothy chapter 2? Look at verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. And that's the key word there, faithful. You can find men, but it's hard to find faithful men. Who shall be able to teach others also? See, you say, Pastor Jimenez, we come to church here and we learn a lot. Well, what are you doing with it? Because see, you're supposed to be learning so you can teach somebody else. You're supposed to be learning so you can take it to someone else. You're not supposed to be learning here so you can get spiritually, you know, pride and just, well, I know so much. I know so much more than I used to know. Well, do something with it.
Come on.
Here's a question for you. What is your involvement in reaching this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's why we're here. That's why we exist. So I'm not involved in it at all. Why don't you get involved? You think, well, you know, the option is always like, well, should I just leave? No, get involved. You know, sometimes I preach sermons like this, and literally people say, you know, I'll say, like, the purpose you're supposed to be in church is you can go reach the gospel. So people say, well, you know, then I'm just going to leave the church because I'm not reaching the gospel. Why, you know, why is the option always leave? Why is the option never get right with God? People always say, like, well, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, so I'm just going to quit on God. Why don't you just get right with God? Why don't you just decide to follow Jesus? Why don't you just decide to fish for men? Why don't you get involved? Come out soul winning. Go out with somebody. You say, well, I don't know what to do. What thing you can do? We'll disciple you.
Right.
The purpose of New Testament Church is to baptize converts. You know, have you been biblically baptized? I didn't ask if you've been baptized. Have you been biblically baptized? The purpose of New Testament Church is to disciple believers. Are you growing? Are you learning? Do more of it. Read more Bible. Get more preaching. Learn more. And it's a place to belong. You ought to get to know people. You ought to love people. You ought to become part of this community of believers. Why? So then you can turn around and teach others also. That is the purpose of the local New Testament church. That's why we exist. That's what we're here for. That's what we're doing. Are you a part of it? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for our church. And Lord, I pray that you would please help us, Father, to realize that you left us here to reach this community. Not to feed the homeless, although it's nice to feed the homeless. Not to do charitable things, although it's nice to do charitable things. Not to get people jackets or help people pay their rent, although we do all of that. Our job is to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we feed them a meal and let them die and go to hell, we're not doing our job. And if we clothe them and never talk to them about their salvation, we're not doing our job. Father, I pray you'd help our church to just get involved, get committed, decide to realize, you know, the reason we're here is to reach people, so let's get busy reaching people. Father, we love you. I pray that you'd bless the next few moments. In your precious name, I pray. Amen.